The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm intimidated and excited because we're not alone in the studio today.
I know. It's so delightfully crowded in here. We have a wonderful guest. It is our Canadian correspondent, Daniel, back once again to talk about Skate Canada with us. Welcome, Daniel.
Hello, it's great to be here with my two darlings. I'm always happy to be on call as the Canadian correspondent, reporting live from Toronto, not Saskatoon.
We're not physically in Saskatoon. I don't know if I should be happy about that. I don't know anything about Saskatoon except that Chapel Roan wants to move there. And that's enough for me, I think.
What I know about Saskatoon is that Benoit Richaud took a big dump all over Saskatoon on Instagram.
He was like, it's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Middle of nowhere, yeah.
I was like, Benoit, you were there and you saw that it's like a fully developed city. I'm pretty sure it's like the largest city in Saskatchewan. Like, what is
that? Doesn't mean a whole lot, though, unfortunately.
Doesn't?
No.
I mean, I live in a really small city, too. We have like three buildings in our skyline, so I'm impressed. But
you know what? I respect him. I respect him for speaking his truth always. And I think because I was him for 1 hour of very, very twisted being in his twisted mind, I now can't say anything bad about him anymore. I've been fully converted. Every day I wake up and I look at my roommate's Clippers and I'm like, maybe today is the day I go bold in real life. Haven't done it yet. Maybe before my competition. What if I show up fully bold?
Like Begonia it out.
I haven't seen Begonia yet, so I still can't make jokes, which would be so fun and topical right now.
Bald cap works, right?
It was so deeply uncomfortable for the 1 hour where I was Benoit for Halloween that I think next time I'm just going to commit.
Yeah, well, Sarah Everhart has broken the glass ceiling of whether you can skate to a Yorgos Lanthimos Emma Stone vehicle.
So, poor things program.
I loved that. I'm not going to lie. Like, we're not talking about it today, but I'm Yorgos Lanthimos' number one shooter, and I love him. So I was very excited.
I was obsessed with my goat, Lissa McKinnon, posting her reference pictures from the Poor Things costuming for how she made that costume, which is not a thing that happened. I mean, it is a thing that happened, but it's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the podiums at the 2025 Skate Canada International, which was honestly quite exciting. And I had a pretty great time with it. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, do you want to start with men or women?
You know what? Let's have you guys talk about women. I wanna hear. I'm gonna be so honest for our listeners. I watched women, but I didn't I was incapable of fully committing to watching women because of other things that were happening in my life for once. So I'm mostly here to just sit back and enjoy a podcast from the two of y'all with some interjections because I can't. I'm a yapper. I will have opinions.
You're going to be like our hype man in the back.
Yeah.
But go like a Beastie Boy. Like you'll just repeat sort of what the last thing we say.
The last thing you say.
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 Be great. Okay, well, let me pull up my beautiful Wikipedia article. For reasons that I can't quite explain to you, I've been really into, like, old long-form video essays recently, which I told you about. So I recently rewatched the H-Bomber Guy, like, four-hour-long plagiarism video. And now whenever I use Wikipedia, I'm like, oh, my bad.
But, no, you're not, because even in the past, like, year and a half, that essay has already completely dated itself because nowadays Wikipedia is one of the few places that are still predominantly edited by humans.
It's true. I was thinking that while I watched it. I was like, wow, I really need him to do a follow-up with AI. But
yeah,
anywho.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Watch Eddie Burback's video on AI right now.
That's
it's
my
so
next,
fucking good.
That's my next
I love to watch to that do. Man. Oh, I need him on my screen. I love him on my screen. He's so nice to look at.
Oh, he is so beautiful and so smart.
Well, I guess I have to then. And also so beautiful and so smart is our bronze medalist, Ami Nakai of Japan. I guess. I mean, I don't know if she's smart, but she's adorable. I have no reason to believe she's not. I think that she's, you know, the octopus hairpin continues to baffle me, which means that she knows things that I don't really grasp.
So she won the first event. That was France, right?
Yeah.
So she won Skate America France or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she I don't know. I remember if she went down or foot down or was something, step out something on the triple axel in the short, which got her to be out of the small medals for the short. Unfortunate. How do we feel about that short program of hers? What do you think?
Megan,
I was curious if you liked it more the second time. I think it's cute, but I also feel this is like one of my biggest insecurities in life is that I haven't seen a lot of classic cinema, and I feel like all my friends have and like love old films, and I just haven't seen any of them. I've seen like every movie from the 80s, and that's like it. So in fact, one of my biggest fears in life is that someone is going to put me in the Criterion closet and I'm only going to be able to pick Godzilla and like Paris is Burning and that's it.
Have you actually looked at the Criterion closet list?
Yeah, there's like three. I've seen Portrait of a Lady on Fire, obviously, and it's beautiful. There's like two or three in there. Like in reality, it's like five or six besides Godzilla. Oh, no. But
I was going to say there's a lot of pretty contemporary stuff in the Criterion closet. There was a... Jamie and I at some point sat down and just picked what we would take home from the Criterion Closet.
I did too, though, and it was like five or six things.
I live with the fear that someone's going to ask me about that and if someone is going to ask me about my Letterboxd top four.
That I can do. That's fine.
But that's not Ami Nakai.
No, it's not. But anyway, so all this to say that I don't understand La Strada. My first introduction to it was Alyssa Liu. And then now Ami Nakai is my second introduction to it. And so I'm getting Stripes. I'm getting some kind of charming clown woman, perhaps. I don't know if the octopus features heavily. It might be France or Italy.
It does not. It's Italy. It's a Fellini film. And I've seen it. And that does nothing to explain anything about this. I mean, she wears like a little stripy sweater in the film. And a little hat. It's not a beret. It's like a little... What is it called when it's a fedora, but like with the rim
a
twisted?
Trilby?
No, it's not.
Trilby? Is it not...
It might be a trilby. I don't know. She wears a little sweater. She wears a little sweater and it's Italian and it's like a tragedy.
Wouldn't know. The tragedy part I was not getting from either Alyssa or Ami Nakai. And this is not like a shitting on Alyssa Liu podcast because obviously we love her. But this was like pre-retirement Alyssa back when I wasn't sure. And this is not about her. It's a really beautiful, joyful, happy program. I assumed she was like a manic pixie dream girl, like bordering on maybe magically.
Yeah, the thing with me, it feels. I hate to say it. It feels juniorish to me because it shows off. Unfortunately, is that she's capable of doing more mature choreography than what she's been given here. I don't know who did the program. I'm so sorry. Insert name here, but
I'll find out for you right now.
It's a program that shows off that she's capable of more, which is unfortunate.
David Wilson.
Okay, well, what do I say? It's not a unikin program, though. You know, she could do a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and I wonder too how much of it is like, I guess I wonder if they had known and she had known and everyone had like a crystal ball and could see into the future and could see that she was going to be like top of the podium or on the podium at both her Grand Prix events, almost definitely making it into the final. I think statistically she is going in.
I simply cannot think about the statistics. Like my brain shuts down when we start.
Oh, I can't either. I saw it somewhere and I believed it was true.
Yeah, she will be in the final.
Yeah. But I wonder if they had that crystal ball, if they would have thought differently about her packaging. Like I wonder if there's a certain level of like, it's her first season, let's let her go out and do some stuff that's like a little juniory but cute and whatever.
Well, no, because it's still an Olympic year and we've talked so much about how fucking deep the Japanese women's field is.
You would think that you would want the
richest, most like opulent, like here's what I'm bringing to the fucking table programs. And I feel like going back to like, not to harp too much on the music and like the choice that it's La Strada, but La Strada, if we're still trying to be good about pronouncing things. It is mostly a tragedy. It is about like circus people and like there's like traveling and all of that in it.
I was right about clown. That's good.
Yeah. No. There is a clown. She is not the clown though. There is a clown in the film. But I feel like because the music is so iconic and because the little stripy fit is like quite recognizable if you've been following skating for a little bit or something, people kind of miss the rest of it, which is that it's post-war. It's very much about like abuse and like having a hard life and all of that. Like none of it is about just like we're in the circus and everything's great. Much like any circus film isn't. That's a whole other thing. This is the greatest show. No,
that gives me pause, especially because I mean, so now I'm thinking it's more like when people do I Dreamed a Dream as though it's like a beautiful triumphant song.
Yeah, it's kind of that. It's real fucking sad.
Interesting. Well, next time I watch it, I'll have that in mind.
I can't remember. I think she dies. I don't watch movies, I guess.
But, well, I mean, look, the skating was not quite as good as it was last time, but still, I mean, I still, like, I enjoy it when she's skating. I do. I think that happiness is contagious to me, and it feels genuine, and I don't know. But yeah, you're right. I don't know if that's the right interpretation for a program like that, and I would have preferred to see her skating.
Yeah, it feels, again, a little juniorish. I don't care for the costume, and then the program pivots on the success of the Triple Axel at the beginning, for the most part, which is why it was so successful in Skate America France and not here.
Yeah.
She fell. I have the protocols open now because remember things. She fell and ended up fourth in the short in Canada.
Yeah. And then the free skate continues to be so unbelievably cute and like ooh. And I think it's a nice song and I think it's a nice program. But again, it's like more of the same of like, this is really, really delightful in an uncomplicated way for me.
Yeah. Uncomplicated way, I think, I appreciate like that.
It feels like a little sister program to the Olympic, the Beijing Olympic, Ellie Goulding, Your Song, that Waka did.
Yeah.
It feels like a little sister to that a little bit. Because I hate the piano guys. I hate this kind of like cover kind of thing. But I do like the vocals. There's something about it when it's with her skating that it makes me, it brings up a little bit of that Wakaba feeling, and I'm like, this could be special, you know, if she does happen to, you know, Tonya Harding her way into an Olympic spot, like if like because the field is so deep, the field is so deep with even without her contending as of this event, it's I'm scared for my girls, you know. I don't know who's going to make the Japanese Olympic team.
I simply refuse to think about it.
It keeps me up at night. I do like the vocals on that song too, though. And I'm glad you said that because I was curious what you thought as like a fellow like singer who's like, I don't know, what's the word? Like mean about
picky.
Not mean, but like, yeah,
specific.
Like, not mean. Not mean.
Particular.
Like, opinionated about other people's vocals because like we're like vocalists or whatever. Like I tend to be really picky about like when somebody's like, I'm gonna sing it my way, you know, and I'm like, I think she has a really nice voice. Yeah. I think she's good.
This thing, I liked it. I really like the vocals, which I didn't expect to. And then she kept singing. I was like, this is not terrible, you know. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be so honest with you. This program could have 17 triple axels, and she could win the Olympics with it, and it would still not work for me because I hate that song, and I've already talked about it once.
That's real though. I got it.
I do want to say someone did comment. I can't remember where, but somewhere on the internet, someone did comment and agree with me about those songs that like insist upon themselves and upon the feelings that they should inspire in you. And whoever it was, I'm so sorry, I don't remember right now, but they also mentioned Smile is one of those songs. And I just want to say, yes, same. Yeah. Something about being told how a thing is meant to make me feel is just so grating to me. And something about it being just so saccharine just does not work. But that's a me thing, and egg on my face when she Tonya Harding's her way into winning the Olympics with the piano guys or whatever.
And by Tonya Harding, we mean successfully landing a triple axel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing else. Yeah. No, nothing else. No.
And then having a fruitful wrestling
for legal purposes, this is a joke.
Yeah, for legal purposes. So I bet you love it then when they do the joke, the twisted Joker version of the smile where it's like, ooh, it's like the opposite of what you think.
It's my favorite, man. Anytime I see a man with his hair slicked back and some purple pants, I'm rock hard, like, the second it happens.
I'm rock hard now.
Well, we're going to get to the Prince program later, but...
Oh, my God. My mother listens to this podcast, and I have things to say. But now we're talking about...
Isabel?
Sweet, cutesy, yeah. Just straight on continuing with the theme of, this is just so sweet and just so girlhood.
A cute podium. A cute girlhood podium.
This is just so girlhood coded.
She took her breakfast at Tiffany's, or that was her. And then she copy and pasted that into Zuby Zuby Zoo.
And she just reheated those nachos.
No, but I'm eating them up because that song, that stupid song, has been stuck in my head from months.
I really like it. Oh my God. I know that's shocking, but that song, and I think it's whimsical in a way that is not grating to me. Megan, we already kind of talked about this last time with Isabeau when we talked about her. I just kind of struggle with the lack of other shit happening in her packaging. But you've said that you're giving her a year, so I'm gonna lay off complaining.
Yeah. I mean, all I can think about this now, the thing that's been stuck in my head is announcer Chris being like, Zuby, Zuby, Zoo, indeed.
Zuby, Zuby, Zoo.
Indeed. Oh, I can't stop saying that.
Zuby, Zuby. I know this is such a quick turnaround, but could you just get like a sample of something that sounds similar to have playing in the background as we talk about this?
This is not the first time you have asked me to compose like public domain sounding bossa nova music at a moment's notice for a podcast that we make together.
And you're welcome.
And I will
put the Me Channel music in the background. Maybe that.
Oh
works.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Hold on. Now I really want her to stay to the Me Channel music. Do, do,
do, do, she kind do, of do, did. Do,
do, I feel like that would functionally be the same thing. I bet there is like a TikTok of her skating to that somewhere because it's such a viral sound or whatever the kids are calling it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love those viral sounds.
Do we have any? She skated fine and it looked fine.
I can't. Like, I'm so sorry, my darling Isabeau. I love how sweet you are and how fun you seem, but I just can't with the toe jumps. It just hurts. The 90 degree hammer and the it's because you know you can forgive the hammer, but with Isabeau it's like it's a lot for me. It's a
like
full
the bent
90
overness.
Degree. Yeah. It just can't do it for me. But then again, I can't skate, so apparently I can't have an opinion, as we know now, right?
Yeah. What if I have all of my singles? Can I have an opinion?
Because
I do it, I don't like
me.
It.
No, there's just been a lot going on figure skating Twitter and social media lately about when you criticize a skater, not in a rude way necessarily, but there's always somebody who comes up saying, oh, well, I'm sure you can do a perfect triple axel. No, Sally, I can't. That's why I'm judging the one on the screen doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why we start absolutely every single piece of any opinion that we have with, I could never do this in a million years. However... But I will tell you right now that from the very beginning that you start learning your toe jumps, they drill a certain technique into you. And it's really hard to unlearn bad habits. I learned my toe loop from someone who didn't teach it super well to me. So now I can't. It's ugly and I don't like it. And I struggle with it. So I can't imagine how hard it is to fix technique on triples. There we go. That's a generous read. Yay. But Isabeau, my girl, she's she's better than this. I think, well, she wants to be better. We expect her to be better than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle. I also just worry about her because she's so, like, I always worry that one of those jumps is not going to go well. And not to be, like, doomerist about it or whatever, but, like, I feel like it'd be better for her body in the long run to maybe fix things. I don't know.
I think something I think about a lot in all things is that bad technique wouldn't exist if it didn't work a lot of the time. Yep. Because if it never worked, no one would do it. And so the fact that somebody has a technique, I don't even want to say like bad, like what do I know? But like, you know,
questionably
or questionable technique. Yeah, maybe like not the one we want her to have in an ideal world, imperfect. If it wasn't working for her most of the time, she wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you have something that's working for you most of the time and you have enough other things to worry about, like, yeah, at a certain point, like, why would you change it? Because there's no incentive to, because she's not getting scored. Really,
it's not reflected.
It.
Yeah.
So I don't really blame her. Like, I kind of wish that her GOEs would reflect it. But then again, like, if we lived in a world where GOEs meant anything.
I mean, 70% of the women have a Flutz, you know, and like, Kari is my favorite skater, and she has a Flutz.
And she knows it.
Monet had her Flutz called on the short program.
The thing about the Lutz is no one should be doing it.
The ankles are not supposed to do that. Unikim and Rika Kihira are exceptions, you know?
Yeah. I continue to maintain my opinion that it's literally that Alois Lutz wanted to come up with something and this was the only one left.
He was a pick me.
Yeah. He was like, well, I'm gonna do something that no one else has done. And we all know where that takes people.
Yeah, Broken Ankle City.
Mm-hmm. Lutz is the devil and no one should be doing it.
They're my favorite jump to watch.
Broken Ankle City is coincidentally hosting Four Continents this year. I feel like...
Oh my god.
And everyone's skating to like Skyfall and stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
It's Raining Men. I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to let you talk about Monet, the two of
you. I really want you to tell me about Monet Chiba, because we are kind of like, we like her, but we're not 100% like, yay. But you love Monet, and I really want to know. So tell me.
I do. Not entirely, in part, because she's from a certain rink in a certain city on the coast of Japan. But it doesn't hurt that she's... It doesn't hurt
described a certain skater as her big brother.
It doesn't hurt that, you know, like... There are some Yuzuru things I see in her. Let me check my notes here. She's got this, by the way, Monet, not Mona. I know it's hard for some people. I don't get it. It's Monet Chiba. It's pretty easy to pronounce. She's got this effortlessness about her. If you see in the beginning of her Romeo and Juliet free skate, she's got this incredible speed and acceleration she gets into after a tiny hop and skip. It reminds me of the speed and acceleration Yuzuru has. You know, there's no labor shown on her face in wasted movement or in muscle takeoffs. The way she skates, she's consistent. You know, she's a quieter skater than some others in her expression. You know, we talk about who do you think has an aggressive finesse, would you say? Because I have written down here, I say Wakaba and Rika Kihira have this aggressive attack and this aggressive finesse about them. Who in the women's discipline do you guys think are among that kind of caliber of aggression? Who do you think?
Great question. I haven't thought about...
I think like Amber... Mm-hmm.
Amber,
like,
for
I
don't, sure.
Amber, I can see that. Yeah.
I say, I'm like, I like that quality. Like, and I think that's part of my feelings on the skater.
I love when there's a little bit of murder in the eye. Yeah.
I like that quality of like, this is an athletic thing. I think that's why I like American skating in general. I feel like Americans skate with a little more of that in general. I mean, like, we just talked about Isabeau, who I actually don't think has that. She's a little bit more Russian pilled, and that's
extremely Russian pilled.
Monet doesn't have that either. It's more of forgive me for evoking. Two of the greats so early in her career. She's only been senior for what, I think two seasons now? This is her third senior season, I think. Or fourth senior season. She has this Yuna and Mao kind of thing going on, where Yuna had this quiet earnesty and finesse and this delicacy where every like flourish and extension she does feels so natural. And like we're looking in on something intimate, something hidden, mm-hmm. something very delicate. But Monet also has, in contrast, this ability to modulate through a performance into something more akin to Mao Asada, where through a quiet growth, a spinning of the momentum throughout a program, through the consistency of the jumps, through her great spins, in the second half when she gets to her step sequence and she gets into more of the meat of the performance, she's able to extend her expression more outward from where it was in the beginning and really start to perform for a crowd that was drawn in quietly at the beginning. But as we saw, her greatest example, in her last dance short last year in Boston, they were drawn in so quietly at the beginning. Like you can hear a pin drop when you're watching at the beginning of the program, and they're brought to their feet at the end of her layback spin at the end of the program, just because she's able to spin something and tell a story with this youthful earnesty that I think is so unique to her, in that it doesn't come off as juniorish to me, you know?
Yeah. I think I love the Romeo and Juliet. Like, I think that's absolutely perfect for her. Yeah, I said it on Twitter, like, when she takes the dagger to the heart at the end of the spiral, I'm like, oh,
yep.
That's it.
Yeah, so I was scared about her move from the Ariana Concerto, but I'm sold on the Romeo and Juliet, you know?
I like it a lot better.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I think it's exactly right for her because she has that youthfulness that's not really junior, but it's still, like, young.
It's a youth. Yep. And she's, you know what? She makes it easy to root for her because she makes it look easy. Like, mm-hmm. like another skater from Sendai, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it is that she makes it look easy and effortless. And so I think it's like... Yeah, it's like you're right. Like, I think that I tend to gravitate more towards the skaters that I'm like, not like muscle, because I don't like to see them like muscling through it, but you know what I mean? They were like giving more like, it's like a gritty fight. And she's just...
Who's got like raw attack, right?
Yeah.
I will say if we're evoking Yuzu, because we apparently are, he obviously very good at the effortlessness and the fairy likeness of it all, but he also did used to have murder in his eye. Which is what I'm looking for.
I'm thinking 2012 Phantom of the Opera program. That's what I'm thinking.
Like early Yuzu. I think we can definitely see that come in the future, but for Monet. But I think, here's the discourse has been going around is like how her smile looks evil and fake versus no, it doesn't.
I have notes on it. Yeah.
I don't understand where evil is coming from. Like who looks at her and says evil? Like I think sometimes she smiles in a way that's like, yes, she's really smiling. And sometimes she smiles in a way that's like, this smile is part of the choreography. And right now I'm actually thinking something else. And that's like something I would say to work on, but I'm not going to go out here and say that she's like evil and like, you know, who's saying that?
I am so happy y'all were here because I have so many people on the internet muted that I have not seen anything about any of this.
No, my notes here, people say she's robotic, rehearsed, inauthentic. And my notes here, I have written, if I can just soapbox for a minute, you got to reconsider the ease with which you say that and what other kinds of skaters you say these things about. Because I'm a bad person, but I'm not stupid. And there's a trend. There's a long-standing trend in criticizing Asian skaters, you know, Asian artists, Asian athletes. You see it in comment sections and chats for gymnastics or for piano competitions.
That the
Asian performer is soulless and rehearsed. But why do I watch Monet and I'm brought to tears, right? Because you've got to remember every single detail of that performance, jumps, facial expressions to some of the costumes, not all of them, some of the costumes are thought through ahead of time, rehearsed. But a critique like that, to call her robotic and authentic, it's farce in the shadow of like the staying power of a sentiment toward Asian performance and Asian performers and our strict parents and our corporal punishment. It's just pish posh. You know, you got to do better than that. You know, you got to be more nuanced than that.
Yeah, I respect that. I totally agree. And I think that it's, I think people are just, like, dumb. And I think that it's, I don't even
know. People on figure skating Twitter
No. Unless it's coming out of my Asian mouth, I don't want to hear any Asian hate, if that's okay.
The thing I think robotic is like just not even the right word. Like that's what pisses me off.
That's the thing that we lob towards my people. That's the thing we lob towards Slavs.
People will just say things and it pisses me off. Because you're right. It's coming from a place of like, this is what we say about people who are from this place or who look like this. And it's not even accurate. Like the issue with Monet is there's nothing robotic about her. She's really flowy and fluid and
And it's nothing new. It's like fandom criticism and like digital communications criticism 101. But there's this thing which some of us who are survivors of like Tumblr culture and stuff, we really want for something we don't like to be morally bad. Like there are some of us who used to like check your fave is problematic.tumblr.com before like deciding they liked a singer or something. And I feel like words like robotic, inauthentic, rehearsed, yes, they do have a heavy like racial charge to them in aesthetic sport spaces. They also are things that I feel like people know they can say about an athlete or a performer and get some likes. Because when you say, oh, yeah, I don't know, it just feels robotic to me, people are like, oh, yeah, that's the thing we say when we don't like someone. And now it's justified why I don't like that person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if there's the... And not everyone can have, like, a full, you know, crypto fascist crash out on an Instagram Live or whatever. So sometimes we have to dig around for reasons why people's faves are problematic. And sometimes there's no reason. And that's where you end up deciding that you're just going to drop the... I just think it's so inauthentic. And I say that a bunch, but looking back, I think it's only been about white boys.
Inauthentic. Saying inauthentic and rehearsed are the same thing pisses me off so much. Yep. Saying rehearsed is a bad thing pisses me off so much. Especially of course, they're all fucking rehearsed. Yeah. They all practice all day. That's their job. Like, it's you think they got there because they just decided today to do it?
I would be concerned if it wasn't rehearsed.
Like, you think she's just improvising every time? Like, I thought that when I was, like, three, that, like, every time they just went up and made up a program and got a dress that day. Like, that's a fucking child bitch made thought. So, I just...
Yeah, I'm so sorry that Mona Chiba's not ready for Second City Skate Canada. Like, what do you want? Like, what do you
think? Suggestions from the crowd.
Actually, hi.
Oh, we're at a McDonald's?
Hi, hello. I am a comedy improv coach, and I'm here to tell you that even that... Like, yes, it might be being improvised in front of you, but there's so much theory behind it, which is why when people are bad improvisers, you can tell they're bad improvisers. That's a whole other thing.
Here's something that I want to conclude on.
Please go ahead, because we can go around in circles aggressively agreeing with each other.
We could. I think that Monet is in my, like, examining, it's the face, she makes a face that I don't like, but it's not really her fault. It's the face that makes me say, oh no, that's not a real smile, is the face that she makes when she's, I think she's either concentrating or maybe she is disappointed about the way something went, or I don't know what's going on in her head. I can't read minds, but it's like she's smiling and it's like her eyebrows are a little bit worried. You know what I mean?
I think it's that too. Face, I think she's telegraphing next element in her head. I think it's what's happening.
Yeah, she's probably just thinking. That face on a youngish looking woman is like triggering to me because it gives a Terry, and it gives a Terry girl to me. And that's not Monet's fault. She's not in a Terry girl and she never has been, and God willing, she never will be. But I think seeing on like a petite youngish woman smiling, but with scared or sad eyes in this sport is just always upsetting to me. And I think it's worth examining that for myself too, being like, okay, calm down, Megan. Like we probably had a normal amount of shrimp today. Like it's fine.
Yeah, no. And on that day, she was probably doing it because the Terry was in the crowd. So we don't really have anything to blame her for. So.
Honestly, if I saw a Terry in like the same country as me, I would be doing that face. So
I have attended events where she's been there and it was really just that face the whole time.
And that was last time I saw her in the flesh was like 6 years ago, and I was already kind of intimidated and terrified. So, you know, fuck it, Terry. This is how did we arrive here? Don't worry about it. But
it's the logical, like, all roads lead to fuckery.
Yeah, unfortunately. Do you want to talk about men?
Yes.
I want to talk about men. Kao Miura, ended up in the bronze position at Skate Canada. He was fourth in the short, third in the free, and third overall. And I am pleasantly surprised to have seen him as like this one of very few beacons of like stable, semi-predictable skating in the men's field in this event. Because the men did what men do. Like, we're at this point, it's not even a joke. It's just what happens.
Yeah, it was like, he realized the most next chaotic thing that the Prince of Chaos could do would be to be stable for a day.
Yeah.
It was like Halloween, and he was like, ooh,
stability.
I mean, I like...
How do we feel?
I like how... I love Conquest of Spaces. Mm. I think I love his commitment to, like, kind of an edgy anime style, like...
Yep.
Hero program.
I mean, his Attack on Titan program is my favorite Cal program. It's like Umbrellas is fine, you know, it's good. Phantom of the Opera, but the Attack on Titan free skate, oh, the Sasagu, it gets me every time.
I
love that program.
In a world of a sport where there are so many banger programs to pieces of media and or by artists with problematic fascist views, that one really is my favorite. I think.
Top 10 programs with problematic views.
Yep, top 10 programs that we just have to sort of pretend that we don't know are fascist because we like the program.
Oh, God.
No, wait, Woodkid didn't do anything. What do you mean?
You're right. And Woodkid did write Attack on Titan about the big giant people that were coming to France that you didn't even hear about because they ate so many people there was no one else to tell.
The lore is so deep and confusing.
I think that Victor Hugo should do like a Attack on Titan. If he's listening,
we should reanimate Victor Hugo and invite him to what is it? Rewrite Attack on Titan to be about
To be French.
To be French. Oh, just to be French.
Is that what Zidane was about? I haven't seen it.
It's not.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's about
the same thing.
audibly strained.
Audible.
It's not.
How do we tell her what that's about? No, I know what it's about. Yeah, I love Cow. I think it's like
I love his little samurai fit so much.
Mm-hmm. I do like it a lot.
It's so nice to see like a Japanese guy be a samurai for
right.
Once. It's like again, like it's like the most chaotic thing he could have done was just be a Japanese man samurai, and it's like whoa,
and skate good with it. Just be like, I'm a Japanese man,
I didn't know
as a
that
samurai,
he,
and I will
know
be getting
Japanese
a medal.
People could be samurais because my only context for history is figure skating.
Oh, God. I really like that program. Like, jokes aside, I think it really works for him. And mm-hmm. I think there is like a commitment in it. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now, and it scares me because he's doing one of those things where. It kind of looks like there's a bunch of programs that could be happening, which I think is the theme this year. People just having a bunch of programs. I wanna keep seeing the samurai as opposed to umbrellas or whatever else could be.
Well, he is confirmed to be switching to umbrellas, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, why?
Another movie that I kind of only know about from figure skating.
I recently watched it. So my wonderful parents got me cable for my birthday, which has
been
incredible. I've been having so it's not like actually cable, it's one of those little boxes, like an internet box that gives you the experience.
Did you get
cable?
Commercials?
I do.
That's the best. That's what you
I
need.
Get. Like, I get, oh, no. I get like the full channels experience, but I think it was like 2 weeks ago or something. I was watching skating and then the skating finished and I was clicking through the channels and I have a channel called Nostalgia TV, which just plays like old movies. And then I have a different channel called Art House, which as advertised only plays Art House movies.
Art House.
Mm-hmm. And
Art House.
I think it was on one of those two, but I also have like Cinemax and a bunch of other like pretentious European film channels. Umbrellas was on one of those and I sat down and I watched the entire film and it's great. I mean, I've seen
That's
it before, but
I hadn't seen it
in like ages and ages. And I was like, yeah, man, I can see why people would watch this and be like, fuck yeah, that's good music. Pull up the MP3s and like, let's make some choreo. That said, I will miss the samurai if that's confirmed. I've missed that news. That's sad for me.
Yeah, I'll miss that. But maybe it was just like a one-time thing and you had to be there. It was ephemeral.
It was chaotic that it happened once, and I loved it.
It's too bad that we've now taught everyone how to say cow and not KO, because chaotic.
Chaotic.
Chaotic. Yeah, it doesn't have the same.
Chaotic.
Chaotic.
Chaotic. You know what's chaotic?
Yeah.
You know what's chaotic is moving to Norwood, Massachusetts, dyeing your hair blonde, and deciding that that European figure skating deserves to be cunty again. Which is
Speaking
what Alexander Slavko is doing.
Do you know what's in Norwood?
Skating?
Yeah, the Skating Club of Boston, 95 North, and Market Basket. One of those. So it's like... I do love Market Basket.
If it works, it works. And my God, is it working for Alexander Slavko?
Not like trying to dunk on Skating Club of Boston. My God.
But we
like,
love the Club of Boston.
I'm from Rhode Island. And if I see an opportunity to get a little jab in against Massachusetts, I have to. And I'm sorry about that. I'm working on myself.
I'm so proud of you. Can we talk?
Maybe, but
about
I might.
About
Alexander Slavko.
Alexander Slavko's kiss. Can we talk about Prince? Can we talk about the little mesh undershirt and the crop top and the facial expression and the everything of it?
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I'm obsessed. There's something so special about, like, oh, jokes aside, yes, it was kind of, you know, it was hot and fun and like all of that. I really enjoy watching a skater like find their confidence and like their signature and the way they can be like come into their own or like however we want to call it, because he's been good at skating for a while. Like, we know that he can skate, and now there's like a newfound confidence and the additional like, oh yeah, I'm also gonna give you a show. It's not just gonna be, you know, it's not just going to be good skating. I will also be like doing this thing that, you know, I'll be dyeing my hair blonde and it's going to be like a whole production, which I don't think every single skater needs to like do. Like, they're not pop stars. Like, it doesn't have to be that. But I really fucking enjoy when it happens.
I do like it. Yeah.
Like, when it feels natural, when it doesn't feel like someone told him, go out and dye your hair so you can, you know, have the viral moment or like whatever, when it feels like he just arrived at a point in his life where he's like, oh yeah, I can do that and it can be fine.
Can I say something?
Please,
this is
ahead.
What I need from Grassl. This is what I was saying last time. I don't want to see it, but like, that's what I do want to see. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't want to see it. Like, I want it to be authentic, like
exactly.
In the way that this is authentic.
Exactly.
This is authentic to me because he's carrying it off. He's blowing kisses in a way that doesn't feel cringe, which like, I don't even know how you can do, but he's done it.
He's done it. Like, yeah, I don't, it just didn't feel, oh God, it didn't feel rehearsed. No, I'm joking. It just felt like he like really, you know, the thing that we've been talking about for fucking 6 years on this pod about how you can tell when someone doesn't want you to see that they are capable of like emotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This feels like the complete opposite of that. It feels like he was like, look, I know this is going to be like hot and steamy and fun. And you're welcome. And I really enjoy that because I think that's rare to like have that much commitment, regardless of style. Like, I also really, really like his free skate, which is the complete other end of the spectrum, I think. But having the confidence and like the self-assuredness to just be like, oh yeah, I know what this looks like and I know what I look like doing it and enjoy, I think is really, really fun.
It was neither don't look at me nor, hey, look at me. You know what I mean? It really like threaded the needle right in between, which I liked.
Yeah, I completely agree. It worked. I blushed in real life and I enjoyed it. And also, it makes me excited, like, as the one European on this call, it makes me excited looking ahead, looking towards Euros. This could be very interesting. Because God knows our field is deeply unstable when it comes to European men. And with European men, we don't have anyone to win with a margin of 70, however fucking many points.
Oh my
76
God,
points.
76.
Should we address the elephant in the room?
Oh, shit.
Title of the episode. There it is.
Brilliant.
The
Thank Ilia you.
Funt in the room.
The Eliopfante.
The Eliopfante. We've talked at length already about the... We've given an attempt to the generous read of the free skate. I need to ask y'all just a real simple, honest question. Yes, it was a record-breaking free skate. Yes, it was apparently something we've never seen before. Did it make you feel anything?
Annoyed? Sorry.
Yeah. yes. Yeah, it made me feel confused and mad. It made me feel confused and mad because I really tried to listen to and parse the words of the voice speech to this time. And the one that really makes me so mad, like madder than I can even express, and I'm trying to keep it together here, is you are something but not nothing. Because that's what something means. Something means not nothing. But means the opposite. And so it's like, this thing is this thing, but also not the thing it's not. What the fuck are you talking about?
That is when it becomes truly what? Nothing. That's nothing. It's nothing.
See, that's where I feel like that's the thing where it comes out and it's like, hey, look at me. I've really thought about this and I have things to say.
Something but not. Like, it could have been something and not nothing. Sure. But the but. It's getting
even
me.
Your something, a beat, not nothing, yeah, still works better. Workshopping this?
It was the worst possible conjunction he could have chosen. But we know that transitional material is not his strength. Ooh! Sorry, was that really mean? I'm sorry.
No, that was, there we go. Thank y'all so much. No, I do want to bring something to y'all's attention because you are blessed to not have an access to the Slavic corners of the internet. And I am so jealous.
You are my Slavic corner of the internet.
I had the complete misfortune, curse to have stumbled into the comment section of a video of Ilia's free skate posted by a Bulgarian sports website, and the comment section was on Facebook, so it was all boomers. It was all Bulgarian boomers, which by definition means a bunch of pro-Russia people. I'm going somewhere with that. All of it was, ha ha ha, look at his clearly very American name. Ha ha, it is very clear that the Russians continue to be the greatest at skating. Like, all of that, like, every single comment was like, молодец, like, whatever. And I'm like, imagine if Ilya's parents, if Tatiana and Roman, all the way in however long ago they immigrated, I don't know, like, the 90s? I don't know. Whenever they immigrated, I don't know. I don't know their lives. Imagine if they had seen the future and they had been like, there's going to be terrible, terrible war and conflict. There's going to be terrible doping. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to prevent their beautiful future son from being a Russian skater. So let us uproot our entire lives, move across the ocean and go start a life elsewhere so he could skate for a different flag 20 however much many years in the future. Is that the implication here? Because he's born and raised in the U.S.
But he's allegedly superhuman, and therefore we can't rule out that his parents are like, it's like a Superman, more evolved human from space situation.
And in that case, and spoilers for Superman 2025, if anyone hasn't seen it, great film. Do we think that the voice note in his free skate is only half of the legacy of what he's left for himself from the future?
I still haven't seen it, but I'm sure that's brilliant.
There's like a whole thing about...
Don't spoil it, though. I want to see it.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there's like a whole thing about trans space and time communication. This is going to be so funny once you've watched it.
Had me in the first half.
Yeah, not going to lie. Yeah, this is a thing that I witnessed, and I found myself in one of those... scrolling, not even doom scrolling, just anger scrolling frenzies where I couldn't stop. And it was just comment after comment after comment, maybe like hundreds of them, of just like Bulgarian aunties being like, that will show them, that will show the Westerners. And I'm like, that's a child from Fairfax, Virginia. Like, what do we think is happening here? Unless he can time travel. So my new pitch is, do we think one of his superhuman strengths is time travel? And do we think it's generational? Do we think his parents can see the future? Do we think his parents knew about this future and left their community and lives and everything behind to move abroad so that he could be American, so that he could be here, so that we could be talking about this?
Yeah, I think there is something time travel-y going on here, because the scores reflect something akin to a time machine where a couple of years in the future, he deserves a 9 in PCS.
Yep.
Also, I think, like, you know how, like, linguistic drift, like, things just kind of change meaning over time? Maybe in the future, but doesn't mean that.
So we're post-verbal, we're post-numbers meaning anything. At this point, I struggle to make jokes about it, because regardless of where you stand on previous record holders in the men's field, and yes, it's like one of those things where like sometimes records get overshadowed within seconds of each other or whatever. I think, and I've watched this sport for like 21 slutty years at this point, I think this is the first time I've seen a program that's record breaking, and at the end of it, I've just been like, okay. Not even like, how would you let this? Like, it's not even like the ire I used to feel with like the Atari girls or anything. I was just like, okay, sure.
Like in the voiceover, like just skate to Bolero, but you know, put the old tango romantica compulsory dance music they used to have all the dance teams skate to. Just put that on. Mute the music. Have the crowd clap along to 1 and 3. It's nothing.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. We were so generous with our read about it last time, and now I find myself just kind of happy that I don't have to see it until the final.
Yeah, I know. Meg was mentioning to me she wanted to hear what I thought, because I used to be like a big Ilya fan, and it's true, I did, but when the delusion takes over, the fun of being a big fan kind of peters out. I started and I was like, you know what, he's kind of a diva, and it's kind of giving. Like when I forgave, I'm as a gay and trans person, I'm allowed to forgive here. No one else, just me. And when he was like, when he did the gay PCS thing about, you know, skaters like Jason Brown and whatnot, I was like, you know what? I'm going to laugh at it. I was offended at first, but then I was like, you know what? It's kind of diva if he owns it. But then it's just become this cocky kind of mess. Like he and Ari Zakarian, they're like, Ari Zakarian, why are you making him get in a press conference and complain about underscoring? Are you kidding me? Like, what's happening here? There's no camp. There's no, no drag to it. You know, I want to see.
There is no. It's so straight.
Figure skating. I want to see drag. That's all I'm here for. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. I guess to like speak to what you were saying, Netta. Like, I think that particularly in men's, kind of everywhere, honestly, but like particularly in men's, world records have just ceased to mean anything to me. And I think, and I will say, okay, there are a lot of people who will sort of like compare Ilya to Nathan in terms of like hot shit American boy overscored, whatever. I really love Nathan and we know that.
Mm-hmm.
I do think he was a little overscored. I don't know that he was overscored in a way that every single time made him get the wrong medal. Like, sure, maybe a few times, but like not every single time. I think a fair amount of times it's like he would have won anyway, so I kind of don't care. And because of that, I kind of stopped giving a shit around that time, even though I did like him and I did think maybe he does deserve to break a world record here and there, along with perhaps like other people who were competing at the time. Haha. But I just, it stopped like, meaning anything to me. It's all fake.
And there's like so many sports where like world, like for example, like swimming or something, where world records are about like a fraction of a second, and they get broken like so many times within like won Olympics or something like that. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't
have
like
a lot on Marble League.
Yeah, it happens a lot on Marble League. It happens a lot about on the League of Pigs, which is a channel where pigs run around a racing track, and it's incredible.
I really think we need to do a bonus episode where I introduce you to the complexities of Marble League, and you introduce me to the complexities of League of Pigs.
Oh my god!
I think there's a lot on like an annoyingly scholarly level that we
and I could about introduce you to the. Sorry.
Were you going to say I'll League of Legends?
Yes, I will.
No, please do that. I think there's a lot to be learned about fake sports, about real sports from fake sports.
Yeah. And like, how do we define a fake sport? If there's people who care about it and they show up and they do it, what is to say that one is more real than the other? And is the fact that one sport is Olympic and the other one isn't? Put marbles in the Olympics is what I'm saying.
I would argue that a fake sport is a sport where it is objectively completely out of the hands of the quote-unquote athletes how they do, like in Marble League. Like, it's not
ice skating.
So in that case is the League of Pigs a real sport because they are real living human, well, not human, but real living mammal athletes?
Yes. Because they can say on that day, I'm going to run fast or I'm not going to run fast.
Sometimes they get distracted. Sometimes there's,
you know, I think it's
snack.
As much of a sport. I think it's as much of a sport as ice dances, and I will leave that up to interpretation.
It is episode 3 consecutive episodes of me saying you're fucking lucky we don't talk about ice dance on this show.
I hate it. It's unbearable, especially this quad. Are you never mind?
We cannot do this. I would be blacklisted.
That's fine. I will cut it. Shall we go to plushies? Because I have to work soon.
Yes, but please keep this. Keep I will be blacklisted. That's fine.
Okay.
Tell me about plushies.
Okay. So I didn't take notes during the men's free, and only like a couple of plushies were given during the men's free. Mm-hmm. So this is mostly women's free and then men's short and
whatever else happened.
So for the women, Yuna Aoki got a minion. Ami got Hello Kitty Witch. And I need to tell you that Hello Kitty Witch was also is owned by my nieces who I was hanging out with on Halloween. Aww. And so I felt like
so excited?
Well, they didn't see it happen, aww, but I was excited because I was like, I'm in the same home. I'm in the same house right now as that same plushie's sister, aww, who is with the bronze medalist. And that made me feel like I was a bronze medalist. Let's see what other exciting things happened. Maddie, excuse us, got a penguin wearing a heart that she stared at with a lot of disappointment, though. A lot of disappointment in herself, which I felt bad for the penguin to be on the receiving end of that.
Aww.
But Lara, penguin in a birthday hat with a present because it's her birthday either today or tomorrow. It might be today as we were recording.
I'm sure.
But Monet got a Kuromi, a witch hat, and a Paddington. I think that might be her Paddington, but I like
it. Laura is today. Laura is today.
Happy birthday, Laura. Happy
23rd birthday, girl.
Girl, we love you. And Isabel got a strawberry, a pink bunny, and a scary hat. In the free skate, Asun got a dinosaur. Sarah Maud got a dog. It looks like I just wrote Sarah Maud dog. Like, that's her name. That's fine. Sarah Everhard got a penguin. So a lot of penguins going around. Yuna got a Hello Kitty and a cow. Oh, Brady's mom gave her a heart, which was so cute.
Aww.
I loved that.
Ami, love this time, Brady.
Ami got a bear in a unicorn suit and flowers and a crown. Isabeau got a dog dressed as a bear and a cat dressed as a bunny. So a lot of like Halloween animals happening. And then among the men, Alexa Rakic got some kind of Depiglio. I couldn't identify. He was some kind of monster. Vlad got an orange puppy. Tomoki got a mango. Sasha Selevko got a tiger. Nikolai got a bear in his costume. Nika got two monkeys and a raccoon. And watching Atari hold a monkey was giving Mrs. Coulter from His Dark Materials, like, she was holding it a little too hard. You know what I mean? I don't know. This is not a good one to end on, but Kevin Amos got some kind of orange thing. I should have picked a more definitive one to end on, but unfortunately that's where we are. So a lot of question marks, but also a lot of scary things, a lot of penguins, a lot of Halloween. Overall, a pretty good event for plushies.
pretty good event for plushies, a pretty good event for our Canada correspondent to have joined us for. I always enjoy Skate Canada. I don't know why. The vibes are always good.
They're fun.
They're fun. There's always something crazy.
There was a big hockey game or some shit happening.
Oh, there was a Laura. It was Blue Jays the baseball. Blue Jays.
Oh, is that the baseball?
I skipped game six of the Blue Jays losing to the Dodgers to watch Monet Chiba get an edge call because I care more about the frilly dresses than these men.
Isn't that the one? Is the Blue Jays the one that t-shirt. Hawkeye is on?
I don't know. Oh, we had the Lorax. We had last year. We had the giant the demon moose.
The Lorax. And this year we had the Lorax. The Lorax was in the audience. I love when an event falls around Halloween. It's so delightful.
So funny.
It's the best.
You guys, if you're still listening to this and wondering how the fuck we're in the same studio and recording this for you, it's magic. It's time travel. It's whatever superpower Zilia Malinin seems to have and his parents. And if you're still here, thank you so very much. But especially, we would like to thank our patrons who help us keep the lights on in the metaphorical studio. They help us time travel. They help us teleport places. We're currently all physically in Saskatoon as we speak. And Megan, do you want to give me the list of people who have made it possible for us to all currently be having Tim Hortons with the Lorax in Saskatoon?
I would. And it's amazing how no matter how long you make your vamping for me, I still can't get it together to have the list up in time. It's like always just a little bit too short. Okay. I want to thank Wakaba Higuchi's right toe pick, who is that's a great name. And I love that I get to thank that now. Thank you. I'd like to thank Wakaba Higuchi's right toe pick, Helen, Neve, Cricket, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Erin, Joseph, KM, Jules, and Jordan. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. We love you very, very much. And thank you, Daniel, for being here with us. We would always love
to have you back. Of course. Love you too. We've been friends for what? We've been friends for what? Six, seven years? Now?
Six, seven, like many years.
Oh, six, seven!
Six, seven. Oh my God.
I thought you did that on purpose.
No.
I just scared the shit out of myself. Oh my God.
We're so topical. We're so cool.
We know what that means.
We'll be back next week with some NHK coverage. We'll be on the internet talking about it as it happens in hours as of time of recording of this. Don't worry about it. And we thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you soon.
See ya.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.